part two. You're listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.
All right, AKC's Total Talk Nonsense.
It's part two, man. Part two.
I know.
66 part two.
That's what I
John.
Said with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And this is episode 66 part two.
And if you missed episode one, you need to go download it. Because
Oh, yeah.
We're going to be at Duffy's on Wednesday. Because we are a band. But we're going to go see another band.
And we had Rick in the studio. And the amazing thing is it took a near-fatal incident for him to make it to the TTN studios.
Right.
And he brought his own nurse or doctor.
Dr. George.
Dr. George was here.
When was the last time Rick was on? It was like episode 27 or something.
With TP.
Yeah, that's almost a year ago.
It was with TP. And the other one was Katrina, right after Katrina hit.
Oh, we the New Orleans, the ad hoc New Orleans.
Yeah. There's the wrong emphasis and the wrong syllable. Remember?
Oh, I remember, John. I totally remember.
I'm pretty hammered, dude.
Why?
I poured a lot of vodka in my first one.
Oh, and this is your second one.
Pauly B would not be proud of me.
We're a bunch of lightweights compared to Pauly B. The guy weighs like 80 pounds and he can drink 10 times more than we can.
The night that you left, I had to literally take the drink out of his hand and tell him to go to bed. Because he would not stop. I saw he was holding a wine. It was a red wine. My carpet's like kind of white, you know, isn't it?
Oh, he's getting wobbly?
Well, it started. I saw it sliding like out of his hand, like going. Like he started at the stem and then went. Right to the bell.
Right.
And then the bell started to slip. They said, hey, dude, you know, yeah, come on. We should probably go to bed, you know. And,
He's just a big took it out pussy, Pauly B. God. He can't even eat chili without crying like a baby. At least that's what I hear, anyway, from Air Out My Shorts. The newest member of the Pod Riot, John.
That's
the Pod
right.
Riot. Let's start a riot,
start
baby.
A riot! Oh, I forgot to tell you. Forgot to download it, too.
What'd you forget to tell me, man?
The Podcast Peer Awards.
Yeah?
It's finally kicked off.
It's kicked off. What
it's
does that mean?
Off. That
it's
means,
kicked off.
Okay, well.
So the nominations are in.
This is what's cool about it. Hitman has really set it up straight. And he's got that podcast called Quick Hits.
Quick Hits.
He's a very kind of libertarian. Maybe he doesn't describe himself that way politically. I don't know for sure. But he's very, he likes the logic stuff. He's very skeptical. And
not cynical, but
right.
Skeptical.
He's very skeptical. And he puts a lot of stuff out there that's really good. Makes you think. Makes you want to argue.
Well, wait a minute. What do I need to subscribe to?
Quick,
to hear the
quick
Hitman.
Hits.
Quick Hits.
Quick Hits, it's
Is
called.
That available through iTunes?
I believe so.
I've
never
check
listened
out
to
quick
it through
hits.
iTunes. I've always done it through Podcast
Alley.
Or directly through his own website. I think I went there directly. And anyway, so he set up the Podcast Peer Awards. He tried last year to do it, and it kind of failed. But this year, it really took off, and he's modeling it after the Oscars. Where the peers pick their favorite
podcast.
That's
the way to do it, John. That is the way to do it.
And what he's done it all himself. What he did was he set it up so that everybody gets to nominate, you know, you can nominate somebody. And when you nominate somebody.
Wait a minute. You have to be a podcaster, right?
You have to be a podcaster.
To nominate somebody.
You can nominate yourself. And
like Red Bar Radio?
Yeah. Who got, I think, 14 no votes and like 2 yes votes for best production. And like 80 looks at their thread. but not one single post, except by Red Bar Radio themselves.
What does that tell you, John?
I don't know. I can't.
That
I don't
speaks
judge.
Volumes to me. Because I judge. I'm Machiavellian.
Yes, you
and
are.
And I'm a narcissist. And that tells me a lot, John.
Anyway, he set up a bunch of categories, and you could nominate a podcast, but you had to be validated first. So you had to say, okay, I have a podcast. Here's my feed. He would test it, check it out. Okay, you're validated. Then you could start the nomination process by category. And we got nominated by Professor Tom from Kinky Sex Radio. And the rules were that between your yes votes and no votes, if you had five or more, so let's say 10 yes and five no,
you'd
10
be plus
minus
five,
you'd be plus five. So you'd move on to the finals. You'd
finals.
Be a finalist.
A finalist.
So we're finalists in Best Production with Griddle Cakes Radio and Digital Flotsam.
So now what happens?
Out of us three, we're the only ones that do the live podcast without any post editing. The only post editing we've ever done, except for in the very beginning,
is to cut
stuff out.
And to bonk last names.
Yeah, in case,
bonk.
You know, to protect the innocent.
Right, to protect the innocent because of the W and the W's regime.
Like he couldn't get us any. Well, he hasn't got Osama, so.
Right. If he can't get Osama.
The guy had dialysis. He ain't getting us. Anyway, so, yeah, right now we're losing.
We're losing?
Yeah, we got like 7 votes so far. We got a really nice post in the thread by Paulie B. And he quoted Tony Hearn as saying that our warm sound is like a big hug for the ears.
A hug for the ears, yeah. From the septic states of America.
Right.
And, but how many votes do the other podcasters have?
I think Digital Flotsam got 10.
10? We're only 3 behind.
And what did I say? We get 7? Maybe it was 6. And Griddle Cakes, I think, got 7 or 8.
All right, here's what we do. We manufacture like 20 fake podcasts, and then we vote for ourselves, just like on Podcast Alley, with those proxy voters.
No, man.
And then we win. And then it's like a black tie event, right?
Hitman has been very clever at how
you get to
he
go
to
a
up.
Black tie event at the end
I
if
would,
you win, right?
Out of all the things, I would never want to trash this process that he set up. I think it's probably one of the best and cleverest ways of doing it.
So what you're saying is you would like to trash the Podcast Alley process?
In a pinch. In a minute.
Pinch?
Yeah.
In a
I
New York
be
minute?
Right on the top. It's dirty anyway.
Well, we can have a dignation moment, or I could tell you off air of how I can make that happen. I can make it happen.
It wouldn't hurt for 1 month, just for kicks.
If we do it for 1 month, why not for the entire year?
Well, we do just to make a point.
But here's what I would do. I would code something, right? And I would target like Red Bar Radio and NLO.
Yeah.
And I'd go grab their lame comments.
Yeah, I think NLO is the real deal.
I don't think
so. And here's why. I went to their forum.
Yeah.
And they have like 69 users online at one time. Over 700 active users and well over 1,000 registered users.
I think it's BS. Anyway, here's what I'd do.
You're high.
I would go out to Podcast Alley. I'd read the comments in, all the comments from Red Bar and NLO, and I'd swap Red Bar with TTN and NLO with TTN. And then I'd go out and proxy vote. And we could, how, you want 10,000 votes? You want 20,000 votes? How many votes you want? You want to be number one for eternity,
Well,
John?
Actually, the pooch told me an easier way.
Hmm.
I don't want to say because, you know, then everybody will be doing it.
All right, you can tell me off air then.
All right.
Now, we're not going to cheat the system.
No?
Fuck that.
All right.
I said that a couple years ago.
Couple of years. I know.
Yeah.
It's almost 2
Before
years.
We even started podcasting, I said
it's
that.
It's almost 2 years.
I said,
years.
We're not. I don't even know about podcasting, but we're not going to cheat
you're
the
saying.
System.
Right.
Yeah.
before computers even said it. I would never
cheat. Right.
Even though I'm a 76 on the Machiavellian score sheet.
In 1978, before the personal computer came out, I said this. We are not going to cheat the Podcast Alley system. Alley. That's right.
You weren't sure what they were calling it yet, but you knew for sure you would not be cheating in the
voting. And that we'd have one.
Right. We would have one. Not we didn't know what it was.
We didn't know what it was.
But we'd have one.
That's right.
Right.
Fucking right. Agent. So are we getting any comments this?
Yeah, we did. We got a couple.
A couple of comments.
Yes.
I need a backing track if you're going to read comments, man.
All right.
Show me why you should be producer of the year.
How about that?
That's nice.
Keep you mellow. All right. Jesus Christ! How the motherfucker are you guys so low in Podcast Alley ratings? I'd put you at my number one, my first podcast subscription, and still my favorite. Much love for you crazy Americans, the very British Spenny.
Spenny.
Submitted by Gloriously Random.
That's out of sight.
Here we got another one. No worries, you guys are a lock for best production on PPA. I'd say the same for favorites, but we plan on winning that one. Love the nobodies.
The nobodies. And you know, John, I wish I would have brought in the comment they left on the Punky Podcast Alley.
Why, they slam us?
Yeah, they slammed us.
Those evil.
They said Pauly B made mincemeat out of us or something like that. I'm paraphrasing.
Damn.
Like we're big pussies to the great Pauly B.
They're mean.
Yeah, right.
I wrote a real nice comment about them on the PPAs. I'm taking it off. Butter my biscuit or sauce my crust. Any way you slice it, I love TTN. Submitted by Shorts.
I'd rather sauce your crust, Shorts.
You know what I'm saying?
Sauce your shorts. More than what you meant, isn't it?
You said butter my biscuit or sauce my crust, right?
Right. I'm thinking you're going to sauce your shorts. Oh,
I already have sauced my shorts, John.
All right, looking forward to the 100th. What happened to the T-shirt contest, Scott? From Clambake.
What, they called me out on that?
Yeah, they're calling you out.
What did happen in the T-shirt contest?
What are you talking about?
Well, we have T-shirts on Cafe Press, but I still think we need to do like a 300 press of what was the winning slogan? Do you remember, John? We'll have to go back and check. Keeping it real.
Real stupid.
Real stupid, yeah. I think was the winning slogan. I think we need to make 300 T-shirts with the TTN logo on the front and on the back, keeping it real, real stupid.
Well, let's do it, man.
All right, let's do it.
Because you know we get so many donations. This is costing us a fortune. J&S, I'm still trying to figure out stage names for you guys. Submitted by Eric Tomorrow.
Yeah, well, come on. Hustle up with that, right?
I have a stage name, but it's not John.
John Aria?
No.
What is it?
My stage name is Miles Long.
Miles Long. Well, we can't do that. We can't change the show to the Scott and Miles show.
No, that's my Kangaroo Court.
Kangaroo Court, right. Here's what I got. Here's what my front runner.
Rick.
My front runner right now is Scott Rockwell. Do you know why? Because, like, K-Fed.
That's stupid.
Hey, shut up, man.
Shut up.
Like, K-Fed, like J-Lo, you can call me S-Rock.
Well,
S-Rock, man.
I'm Dick Fitzwell. All right. Still my favorite, even though my brilliance has been featured on another podcast that will remain nameless, Goopa Goopa. TTN is still my favorite podcast, submitted by Flem Livet.
Flem Livet, whose prose was read on Punky. Was that one or two podcasts ago? And again, I'd like to tell you what episode, but I can't because they don't say what episode. They do the fucked up dating thing.
Onwards and upwards. You are in the PPA finals. Let's start a riot from Pauly BX.
Pauly BX. Oh, I forgot to tell you, John. MySpace, Pauly B. Edwards is now a friend of ours on MySpace.
Oh.
And we need to move him up into the top 24.
All right. Can do that. No doubt.
No doubt, John.
Vote for the Shredder. This is the best guitar shredding podcast on the web. Listen as John rips through various metal classics. I've been learning, doing a new Iron Maiden tune, too.
Are you going to shred for us in part six, John?
I don't think, not today.
Not at all?
I'm not ready.
What about me? Can I shred?
You can shred.
Can I do some shredding?
No doubt.
No doubt, John.
Oh, there's comedy at times, too, and some guy called Scott, apparently.
Oh, that's
submitted
funny.
By poet.
That's funny, poet. I'm laughing. You hear me laughing?
On MySpace, Daisy said, you know, I didn't call in last episode, but I have been thinking about it. I want to leave a voice message, but just haven't had the time.
Of course she has been thinking about it. How could she not think about John and Scott? And here's what I want to know, John. Is Daisy married yet?
I don't know.
Did she get married?
I don't know, but her MySpace is now says she's 16. So she keeps getting a year younger every year.
All right. What you gonna do?
I don't know. Kids these days. All right. Maddie says, please read the following in a Jackie Mason voice. Oh, man. I don't know if I could do it.
Well, let's get Jackie Mason in here. Hold on. Here he comes. Open up the door.
All right.
Have him walk over. Hey, Jackie. How you doing? We got this comment that a listener wants you to read for us. Have a seat.
All right.
Put your headphones on.
This is one time.
All right, give him the text there, John. Whenever you're ready.
I'm retarded. I never realized until recently that you guys read my space comments on the show as well as the PCA ones. And they don't censor these motherfuckers. I'm going to go down to Luigi's for a calzone and a cannelloni. Cannelloni. Then go back to Sheboygan.
Sheboygan!
All right, thanks, fellas.
All right, thanks, Jackie, for stopping by.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. Take it easy.
So wait a minute. Phil has to ring the bell. Jackie Mason just walks right in. You gave Jackie Mason a key?
No.
Phil's been here since episode 11, and he still has to ring the bell. Jackie Mason could just walk in?
He's a rabbi. Come on.
All right.
That's it.
That's it for comments?
That's it for comments.
How about email? You get an email? Email?
I have not.
I got an email, John.
You did?
Yeah, I got an email. It's from John.
Really?
Firstly, I must say that my friends and I here in Tokyo, sorry, we're not Japanese, just regular septics like yourselves, totally dig the show and our longtime listeners.
Wow!
And I must say thanks for keeping your show as fresh and as raw as ever. It must be hard, John, to come up with fresh material every week. I have no idea how you guys pull it off. It's like this. So now to get to the point of me writing. I saw this clip on spikedhumor.com about the W, and I instantly thought of your show. It's a clip from The Daily Show. Anyway, check it out. If you can use it as fuel on your show, that's cool. And if not, well, it's as funny as hell. Anyway, enjoy. And I did check it out, and maybe we'll use it someday.
Someday?
Someday. Not today.
Not
because
today.
I didn't bring it in today.
Oh, all
John.
Right.
So thank you, John.
Thank you, John.
And he gave his last name, but we don't want to read out last names.
All right.
Because the W in the regime. You know what I'm saying, John?
Yeah, fire something off into Tokyo.
Are you ready for some celebrity news?
Oh, yeah. Should we get some celebrity news music?
Let's get some celebrity news backing music. Brooke Shields says Tom Cruise has apologized for publicly criticizing her use of antidepressants after the birth of her first daughter. The two had a public beef last year after the Mission Impossible 3 star, echoing the position of Scientology, John, said in an appearance on NBC's Today Show that depression can be treated with exercise and vitamins rather than drugs. The 41-year-old
Axis... Soak in your face!
Axis? Actress says Cruz apologized in person on Thursday. He came over to my house and he gave me a heartfelt apology, Shields said Friday during an appearance on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. And he apologized for bringing me into the whole thing and for everything that happened. And through it all, I was so impressed with how heartfelt it was. And I didn't feel at any time that I had to defend myself, nor did I feel that he was trying to convince me of anything other than the fact that he was deeply sorry.
That's such a lie.
And I accepted it. Well, right. He's an actor, right?
Well, this is, even Brooke Shields is lying. And I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because the wife saw the Jay Leno.
Oh, did she?
And she said that there was a part where he was there for like 3 hours going on and on and on. And their husband goes, hey, honey, want some omelets? And I guess Cruz's back was to the husband and or something like that. And he looked away, Cruz did, and she kind of did the, you know, the throat cut across the neck to the husband, like, no, yeah. Ixnay.
Ixnay on the omelette.
I want him the fuck out of here.
Ixnay on the omelette. Let's get this motherfucker out of here.
That's what she said on Leno. She's like, I was like, get him out of here, man. This guy's a wacko. And he said it again, and Cruz said, oh, sure, I'll have an omelette. So he ended up staying for breakfast.
Can Scientologists have omelettes, John? I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, and the whole thing
is
a bunch of
crap. Will that show up on the Scientology meter?
What did this happened a year ago, and his publicist said, hey, you're not very popular. You got cut from Paramount. You need to start reconstructing your image, and I think the first place you need to start is to go apologize to Brooke Shields. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to get Brooke Shields on The Tonight Show for you after you apologize to her. Because why else would Brooke Shields be on The Tonight Show? She's got nothing going on, right?
Well, ever since he did the big jump on the couch thing, even my wife was a huge fan of Tom Cruise, was like, what the fuck? And now she does not believe what, after reading the stuff in People about him being at the scenes of accidents and all this publicity.
Oh, that's all true.
I know he's been there. But it's all part of the public, you know, public propaganda.
And the thing is, it's so
in my
fake.
Opinion.
It's so fake. Yeah, go over to her house and apologize to her. And you know he didn't mean it. You know that he didn't mean it at all.
Oh yeah,
because he still believes what he believes, that Brooke Shields is crazy for taking these drugs, and you can solve all your problems through Scientology,
and
John.
He says he never said anything. His publicist said he never said anything against her to hurt her, and he did. He told Matt Lauer he was glib, and that
you don't know. You don't know.
I know. Look at her. Look at her career now. Where is she now? Where's Brooke Shields' career now? Like, Scientology is going to put everybody's career on track.
Stupid
Fuck
ass.
That.
God damn it.
Nut jobs.
Why can't we manipulate him, John? He's got millions of dollars.
I don't know. He seems like such a cool guy, and then he just went off the deep end.
That's
recently.
All based on looks, John.
Yeah?
Yeah, you're basing it on your attraction for him.
No. I thought to this day, the Risky Business is such a cool movie. Here's a guy, he's in high school, and he never made my coolest character list because of this whole shit that's going on. It's really jaded me to his career. I won't even watch, what's it, Mission Impossible 3?
Oh, I saw it. It's the best of the Mission Impossibles, in my opinion. But the guy is delusional. He's a whack job.
I can't set it aside.
And we've said it before. Here's what happened. He was like you've seen a high school picture of him. He wasn't very attractive. But something happened. He morphed into one of the most attractive people on the planet.
Oh, he's
acting
job.
He was a
goofball when he was in Risky Business with a giant schnoz.
Well, you said he got to work on that. I don't know.
I don't know if
that.
He worked on
I got to go
it.
Back and see Risky Business. But
It was gigantic, and then his head grew bigger or something.
At the same time his career took off, probably
easy with the lips,
around
man.
Top Gun, he got involved with Scientology. So he attributed everything that happened to him to Scientology. So I can see how somebody who's mental can go along with that and believe in that fairy tale.
Right.
Yeah, it was L. Ron Hubbard. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have had my career, you know? Just like John Travolta and all those other whack jobs who are into Scientology.
I watched a movie of his today. So fucking unbelievable.
What's that?
I think it's called Domestic Disturbance or something like that.
Never seen it.
It's where he's divorced. He's a boat maker, and he's divorced, and he has a son, and the ex-wife marries Vince Vaughn, and the son is like a pathological liar. He's constantly lying about shit. You know, like one of those...
like L. Ron Hubbard?
No, like the kid who cried wolf, you know?
Right.
And he decides to stow away in the stepdad's car because he wants to talk to his dad. And he knew that the stepdad was driving into town. It's at night. And he was going to just jump out and run over to his dad's place. Well, while he's riding in the car... in this big Suburban, stepdad goes and picks up Steve Buscemi and decides to stab him in the back, right in the car. And the kid witnesses it, and then he throws Buscemi in a big incinerator. And so the kid runs away, goes to dad's house, tells dad. Dad calls the cops. They all go to the police station. And here's where the most unbelievable part happens. Here's the kid with his real father, with the cops, and the mother shows up with the stepdad, who is the accused killer, and they let them all sit in the same room and discuss it. And nobody believes the kid because has a history of pathological lying.
And he's a kid.
And he's 12. So now the stepdad knows... that he ratted him out. So the stepdad starts torturing him, you know, mentally. Messing with him.
Like talking up Scientology and shit. That would mess with me, man.
And he just...
Xenu.
It was just so fucking unbelievable. Because that shit wouldn't happen. It wouldn't go down like that.
Well, in related celebrity news, John, have you ever heard of a Q score? A Q rating?
You mean like in Scientology?
No.
Oh.
It's in the celebrity rating system.
Oh, Qume or Q?
A Q.
No, I haven't.
Marketing industry is a Q score indication. No, I don't. A Q score measures the popularity of celebrities, John. TV shows and products to give advertisers and marketing companies the idea of their value. A Q.
No.
Marketing Evaluations Incorporated, the company that calculates Q scores, have found that Tom's Cruise Q score has fallen by 40%. Kind of like the W.
Wow.
Tom Cruise and the W on the same slide. Fallen by 40%. Negative perception of the actor, who is a devout follower of Scientology, has increased by a massive 100%, whatever that means. This week, it was also revealed that the Mission Impossible star is the celebrity people would least like as...
You're done, Tom.
...would least like as their best friend. In the UK, 2,300 people were asked to choose out of 11 actors who they would have as their best pal.
You're done, Tom.
Tom Cruise came at the bottom of the list just 3%. Who do you think was at the top of the list, John?
I'd say Samuel L. Jackson.
No. The winner was the School of Rock star Jack Black.
Wow!
among the strangers.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Come on. No
they
way.
They were both like Jack Black to
no
be their best friend.
No effing way.
Among the strange things
shit.
Tom has done in the last 18 months includes
you
the couch jumping, publicly proposing to the fiance, the Holmes at the Eiffel Tower. And speaking out against the use of antidepressants to treat postpartum depression in accordance with his Scientology beliefs, John.
Cock push-ups?
And the last celebrity story tonight, engagement ring for Lohan, John? Lindsay Lohan is set to become part of the Morton family empire if reports of her boyfriend Harry Morton buying an engagement ring are to be believed. The restaurateur was spotted buying an engagement ring at Cartier of Beverly Hills, California. And his aides have confirmed he did, in fact, buy something special there.
I love
you. Now, here's the cool part, John.
I want
I didn't know this until I read the story. But this Harry Morton guy.
Harry Morton.
Harry Morton. He owns the Pink Taco Restaurants. I can confirm that Harry has shopped in Cartier with what he purchased. I cannot confirm. If it was, in fact, a gift, then that's between him and whoever the gifts are for. Lohan and Morton have been an item for 4 months and have been inseparable this summer. Morton is the son of
hold on a second. I'm looking
Hard
at the menu.
Rock Hotel chairman Peter Morton, who owns the Pink Taco chain.
Hold on. The number one on the queue is ordering something.
Please don't offer me anything. I'll tell you what I want. You know how you got the 6-piece nuggets? Just can you give me just 4 nuggets? Shut up and listen to my order. Take the 6 nuggets and throw 2 of them away. Put 2 of them up your ass.
Okay, so he's not happy with his order from the Pink Taco. 'Cause dummy, you don't order nuggets, you order tacos.
That's right. Stupid ass.
Jack Black.
Trying to watch my figure.
All right. That's fine.
So am I.
Me too. If I stand next to a pole, I make the number 10.
All right. How are we doing on time?
We got about 8 minutes.
Eight minutes, my friend. All right. Should I get into Bible stories then?
Me.
Let's go to Bible stories, John. We talked about this last podcast. We're going to dedicate some time to Bible stories. This week, we're going to talk about Bible stories. Next week, we're going to cover the lost... what would you call it? It wasn't included in the Bible.
The lost... Oh, the Gnostic Gospels?
The Gospels about Jesus. You know, we talked about this before. So what happened to Jesus between age 12 and 29?
He was a bad dude. I heard he killed people.
I have those Gospels, John, and we'll cover those next podcast. But this podcast, we're going to just cover Bible stories in general, because we have another TTN correction, which I wasn't able to pull the audio for. But we said that God hates fags. It is an abomination to lay with another man. We said that was Leviticus, and that is not correct, John. That is not from Leviticus. It's from Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, John. That's where that's from.
I didn't know that.
All right, so let's get into Bible stories. This is a Bible educational segment of TTN Total Talk Nonsense. Are you ready for the first Bible story, John?
I thought God was coming.
God will be here when we... God doesn't have to ring the bell, John.
No.
Don't disrespect God.
Who knows ringing the bell, then?
I don't know. That must be
it.
Phil must be here.
All right. Well,
let me go get
outside.
The door. Hold on.
All right.
I'm going to go get it.
All right.
Yeah, you didn't screw this thing off. It just fell off.
Did it come off? Yeah. All right.
Hold on. I'll try to... Come on, Phil, man.
I screwed it up great, man. You fucked it up.
I must have fucked it up.
All right, Phil, sit down.
Oh, shit. Sit up. I'm going to have to hold 2 mics now?
What? What are you writing on 2 mics?
All right, man, it's all good.
I'm not sure Mike is going to appreciate that.
No, it's all good.
Both of them.
Oh, shit, I lost my page. God damn it.
Well, here, we'll play this segment real quick.
Well, how you doing, Phil?
Yeah. If loneliness drives some girls to prostitution...
What the hell are you playing?
It drives some men in another direction. The history of homosexuality is as long as the history of man. From the glory that once was Greece to the decadence that destroyed Rome, homosexuality has been both despised and idolized. Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, Frederick the Great, Leonardo da Vinci, and Michelangelo are but some of the names that any homosexual will point to as examples of virility and a defense of his way of life.
Do you suck dicks? Are you a Peter Pupper?
Though nothing new, homosexuality is having an upsurge since the
war. Do you suck dicks?
Whether it is an actual increase or merely an increased public acceptance is a point to be argued.
Are you all right out there?
Yeah, I'm cool, man. I got my mic set back up. How you doing, Phil? Why are you here? It's part two. You're already here. You usually don't show up till part six.
Well,
I thought I'd come early because I heard God was going to be here this evening. And I've always wanted to meet the man. The man, the God, the supernatural.
I'm going to ask God a question.
When he gets here?
Yeah.
All right. He doesn't have to ring the bell, does he?
No, I don't think so.
All right. Well, God will make his presence known when I start. I talked to him earlier because I do talk to God. And unlike Pat Robertson, I do not what did he say, Pat Robertson? If I heard God correctly.
Yeah.
I always hear God correctly.
I always hear him correctly. Correctly. You come correct.
I come correct.
Yeah.
I don't have to guess what God is talking about.
There's no rules. There's no question in my mind.
That's right.
All right. So let me get into Bible stories, and God will show
up. All right. Here we go with the Bible stories.
Now, these are
4 minutes.
Bible stories that I pulled from the Bible, John.
Oh, yeah.
From God's own words. And whenever God is ready to join us, I'm going to read first from Leviticus 11:10 to 11:11. And this passage says that we must not eat seafood, John. Seafood is out.
We didn't get nominated for spiritual and religion on podcast.
No,
Pierce.
I don't know why.
I know. We're very much into religion.
Hello.
What?
Yes. Apparently... The sound effects are working.
No, the sound effects are working fine.
Hello, yes. Yes, I am here. Thank you for having me, John and Scott. This is God.
Well, wow. What an honor. Is he in the room with you, John? Because I don't see him.
No, I don't see him at all.
And it's we didn't set up a mic for him.
No, it's amazing.
I don't need a mic. I can communicate. I am all-powerful, benevolent, and omnipresent. I am the Lord. Dumbasses.
All right, then. Put us in our place. All right, so God, I was getting to Leviticus 11:10.
Right.
To 11.
Well, if I may, I would like to recite that. Because I know it. I memorized it. Because I did write the Bible, you know.
I thought it was based on your divine, not word, but inspiration.
Of course.
Okay, I have one question.
Yes.
Do you have a penis?
I do.
What do you need it for?
I need it. It just makes my slacks look better.
God is apparently funny.
Hey, man. Let God speak.
All right.
All right, Scott, getting back to Leviticus 11:10 to 11. And all that have not fins and scales in the seas and in the rivers of all the both in the waters and in any living
thing. Spit it out, God.
Which is in the waters shall be an abomination unto you. They shall be an abomination unto you. Ye shall not eat of their flesh, but ye shall have their carcass in abomination.
All right.
All right,
right.
So what were you trying to say there, God? You were trying to say that we can't eat seafood, right? Is that what you're saying?
So we can't eat pussy?
That is correct. Scott, John, I didn't appreciate that humor.
Hey, God.
Yes, John.
What did the blind man say as he was passing the fish market?
I don't know.
Good morning, ladies.
I just said I don't know that so that you could tell that joke. Obviously, I know everything. I am omnipotent and benevolent.
Right. Yes, you are.
That is right.
Must say.
All right, the next selection we have, God, is no haircut, shaves, or tattoos.
What?
That's from Leviticus 19:27 to 28. God, do you know what I'm referring to?
What's your fucking point?
Of course I do. Let me read. Let me recollect Leviticus 19:27 to 28. Ye shall not round the corners of your heads, John. Neither shall you bar the corners of your beard. Ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any markings upon you.
Wow.
I am the Lord.
Wow.
And there you have it. So that means no tattoos, no haircuts, and no shaves.
Wow.
Yes, I really enjoy the ones where it ends, I am the Lord. So there's no misunderstanding.
Do you have like a big G on your shirt like Superman?
Sometimes. Sometimes I bring, usually in the spring, I wear that shirt. I have a different wardrobe for summer, fall, winter. I try to stay fashionable.
So you got like a wife beater with a big G on it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no doubt.
So people walk by and say, what up, G?
No doubt, John.
No doubt. What up there, G?
That's out of sight.
So do you got pictures of your son like in your wallet and shit?
Of course I do. I have one of those things that folds out. You know, I just whip it out. Well,
little baby Jesus in the manger.
I got baby Jesus. I got adolescent Jesus. I got
teenage Jesus.
Teenage Jesus. And then I got your 30-year-old Jesus.
I married a teenage Jesus.
All right. Moving on with our Bible stories. Whoops. We have biblical cure for leprosy. Do you care to get into that? I don't know if you know this, John, but leprosy, there is a biblical cure.
There is. I did not know that.
Well, that's right, Scott. That is from Leviticus 14:1 through 14:7. And let me begin. This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought into the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest come. Man to take him for that is to be cleansed, two birds alive and clean, and cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthly vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop, and shall dip them at the living bird in the flood of the bird that was killed over the running. Hold on, I have to turn the page in my head. Water, and he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose onto the open field.
What the fuck are you... Wait.
Sorry, I had a frog in my throat.
That seems pretty complicated.
I don't know. What the fuck are you saying?
Can't you come up with like a pill that you take for leprosy?
Yeah,
what's with
no
the
doubt.
Birds and the...
Yeah, how about you just wave your wand?
Oh, I'd like to wave my wand. But that causes the Red Sea to part, if you know what I'm saying.
All right, the next one is a
daughter's... Well, why not take the chocolate highway if it's flowing red?
All right, I'm going to have to cut you off there, John. That's a little blasphemous. I don't want to smite you right now.
Come on, God. Take it easy. Ow! Ah!
All right, let's
damn
move
it.
On to
Stop
the
it.
Daughters
you.
Of Ministers. Beware,
God damn
John.
It.
This is from Leviticus 21:9.
All right.
Well, there you have it, Scott. That's an excellent an excellent... oh, that's funny, John. That makes me laugh. Will you laugh? You have such a cute giggle. And the daughter of any priest, if she profane herself by playing the whore, she profanes her father. She shall be burnt with fire.
Ooh.
That's right.
Ouch.
All right, so if you're the daughter of a priest, you can't be a whore. Moving on, no priest can have glasses, a handicap, a flat nose, or crushed testicles.
What?
Hey, man, this is from Leviticus 21:16 through 21:24.
No
way. Let me repeat. No priest can have glasses, a handicap, a flat nose, or crushed testicles.
That is one big pile of shit.
And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying,
let me take it from here. Speak unto Aaron, saying, whatever he be of thy seed in the generations that has any defect, let him not approach the altar. A blind man or a lame one, like John,
say it, God.
Or he that has a flat nose,
yes.
Or anything superfluous,
you're getting me hard.
Or a man that is broken-footed, broken hand, or crook-backed, or a dwarf, or has a defect. No, this is serious, John.
All right.
Has a defect in the eye, or be scurvy, or scab. Or has his testicles crushed.
Ouch.
No man of the seed of Aaron the priest who has blemish shall come forward to offer the offerings of the Lord.
Wow.
He may eat the bread of this God, both of the most holy and of the holy. Only he shall not go into the veil, nor come near the altar because of his blemish.
Wow.
That he profane not my sanctuaries, for I, the Lord, do sanctify them.
That's a great read. That is a great read. We got to get him in more often, John.
All I want to say is,
what's your fucking point?
All right, now, something I've read in the Bible, Lord, our Savior.
God, we're running out of time.
God really doesn't like whiners. Is that true?
Well, that is true. If you look at Numbers 11:1 through 11:35, and when the Israelites complain,
Israelites,
it displeases the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and he sent the fire of the Lord among them, and consumed the outskirts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed to the Lord, the fire died out. And the children of Israel wept and said,
who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish we ate in Egypt freely, and cucumbers, mallets, leeks, onions, and garlic. But now there is nothing at all except this manna.
What planet are you from, God?
The anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased, and Moses said unto God, when should I have meat to give unto this people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us meat, and we may eat. And the Lord said to Moses, say to the people, the Lord will give you meat, and you shall eat. You shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days.
Get it, okay?
But a whole month until it comes out of your nostrils, and it will be loathsome unto you, and because you have despised the Lord who is among you, and have wept in front of him, saying,
why did we ever leave Egypt?
And God brought forth a wind and brought quails from the sea and let them follow by the camp, about 2 cubits high on the face of the earth. And the people stayed all day and night and gathered the quails and spread them out for themselves round the camp. And while the meat was yet beneath their teeth, before it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord struck the people with a very great plague. So the name of the place became Kilabroth Hatavavavo. Grave of the greedy John.
All right, so you really don't like whiners, basically, is what it comes down to. Are you
a Peter Bubba? That's right, Scott. I cannot stand somebody who whines. I don't like it at all.
Wow. All right, let me see if we have any others. Yes, here's one, Lord, that it's always confused me. This is from Deuteronomy 22:25 to 22:29. And if raped, you must marry the rapist.
What?
What's up with that? Dear God, our Lord, our Savior.
Yes. If raped, you must marry the rapist. And here I will quote from Deuteronomy.
Why does God need a mic? That's all I want to know.
If I don't have a mic, I'm not speaking with a mic. I communicate through divinity, John.
Oh, all right.
If a man finds a girl who is a virgin who is not engaged and forces her to have intercourse with him, and they are discovered, then the man shall give to the girl's father 50 shekels of silver, and she shall become his wife because he has violated her. He cannot divorce her all his days.
And there you have it, John.
Wow.
All right, then. Is there anything left? I must be going. I have to, I have other things to do.
All right.
I am the Lord Almighty.
Yes, you are.
Actually, I have. I have two others.
I have trouble with your mic here.
One is about emasculating
his powers.
Men.
Is he walking towards the door?
No, he's not walking towards
the
door.
Tell him to come back.
Deuteronomy 23:1 to 23:2. And it has to do with cutting your penis off. Now, what's that all about?
Oh.
Well, yes, being the Lord, benevolent and omnipresent, I know everything. Therefore, I knew about John Bobbitt before John Bobbitt existed, John. So I wrote Deuteronomy just for him, 23:1 and 23:2, which says, and I quote, "No one who is emasculated or has his male organ cut off shall enter the assembly of God. No one of illegitimate birth." Let me turn the page in my head. "Shall enter the assembly, none of his descendants, even to the 10th generation."
Descendants?
"Shall enter the assembly of the Lord."
Are they taking vitamin V?
See, now here's what I don't understand about it, Lord. Maybe you can help me clarify this. If somebody gets their schwanz cut off, I'm assuming they can't procreate anymore. And if they can't procreate, how can there be 10 degrees or 10 generations of descendants of guys who have their wieners cut off? That just doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, Scott, let me tell you, before they get their wieners cut off, they may have spread their seed into the woman through her vulva. But I'd rather not get into that.
Her vulva?
So they may have procreated before they had their wieners cut off.
The S60 Volvo?
And if that is the case, then 10 generations shall not enter the assembly of the Lord. And what that means is they will not be able to walk with me. If you've had your wiener cut off.
Why would the Lord say wiener?
Great, 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 great grandfather had your wiener cut off.
At his wiener.
At his wiener. Right. Thank you, John.
Oh, my God.
I am now. Oh, my God.
I said, oh, my God.
That's okay. I'm right here.
All right, I just have one more question.
Hurry up, man.
Jesus drives out demons, kills a herd of pigs, gets run out of town. That's in Matthew 8:28 through 8:32.
Well, yes, that did happen.
Is this the New Testament?
And when Jesus came unto the country of the Gergeneses, he met two possessed with demons who were exceedingly fierce, so that no man might pass by his way. They cried out, saying, "What have you to do with you, Jesus, the Son of God? Did you come here to torment us before the time?" And there was a good way off from them a herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, if thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of the swine. And he said to them, that's my son, Jesus. Go! And when they left the bed, they went to the herd of the swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a cliff into the sea and perished in the waters. The sheep herders ran to the city and reported everything. The whole city came out to meet Jesus, that's my son John, to send him away.
Well, that's outstanding. And there you have it.
Wow. Well, we'd like to thank God for stopping by.
It's my pleasure, John and Scott. I'm a big TTN listener.
Are you going to be back again later?
Sometime? I will be back again.
All right.
I've heard that Scott is going to recite from the missing Gospels about Jesus' life. That's my son, John.
All right.
From the age of 29. I'm sorry. The age of 12 to 29.
All right, G.
Thank you for the Red Bull and vodka. He was outstanding. And I'm going to be going
Don't
now.
Don't stay up too late. Careful driving home, all right?
No need to set my microphone level or my headphones, because I have everything covered. I am God,
all-powerful,
benevolent, and omnipresent. Right. It's a pleasure to be here, and I'll see you next week.
All right, bye-bye. There's God making his way out. He's got some heavy feet.
All right, then.
Phil, what's going on?
Can you just sit
there?
That
was Phil.
All right.
What was Phil's... What's going on?
I don't know. Can he just wait? We got to go.
You know, I've had many memorable moments in the broadcasting history of Phil McCracken would come, but none as memorable as that. Having God in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
How you two managed to pull that off, John and Scott, I don't know. But I am a lifelong follower of TTN. I will be here come hither or high water, whatever that means.
All right, well, we got to conclude this part two of episode 66.
And let's move on to part six,
that's
John.
Right.
The heavy metal episode.
All right, we'll be right back.
That was part two. Now stay tuned for...
Part three.
Just one last quick way.
At Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.